Well, good morning again. Yes. It seems as though every time we set a date for Vision Day, every January, winter comes every time. So, and it did today as well. It took me extra, took me a quarter of the time, more time to get from Fort Wayne today. So, but every time we do Vision Day, it always is snow or ice or some kind of crazy weather, and it just messes it all up. But anyway, we'll work through that. So it's good to be here today. It's always good to get through the holidays. It's good to have the holidays, and it's good to get through them and get ready. And January, you know, is a time when we try to refresh and regroup and set our sails and find out where God wants us to go. And individually, you know, one person had said, a weightlifter says, Planet Fitness says, I can't stand January and February because everybody wants to come back and start working out. And it's after about February, everybody will quit. And, you know, but I'm always reminded that there are some people that do that. I know continue to do that, but there are some that do that, and it finally clicks. And instead of quitting in February, they make it to June one year. And then the next year they do it again, they make it to July. And next thing you know, it becomes a normal part of their schedule. I think that sometimes happens with us as Christians as well. We have this idea that, you know, in our hearts we want to get involved with all these things, but sometimes it just takes a lot of a restarting over. But this is Vision Sunday, and I want to share some things of where we're going and some things of that sort, and not a whole lot in the area, but some, because we know what the vision is here, but there are some things that sometimes God tweaks a few things. He doesn't always tell you everything. And in 2001, when he called me to begin a church here in Huntington, it was not none of this stuff was on the agenda at all. It was just to figure out how to start a church and do those things, and here we are almost 15 years later, and we're looking at a lot of things. But I do want to get into the Word a little bit today, so if you have your Bibles, I'm going to turn it over to Numbers. We're going to be in Numbers for just a little bit, and we're going to be there for a few. And as we go there, I want to share with you, this last week I was able to go to Columbia City and be able to preach a vision message there. And next week I'll be in Fort Wayne preaching a vision mission, the vision there. And each place is a lot the same, but there are some things that are a little bit different and unique. Because we are not just one church, one location. We are one church in other locations. So today, this is our crowd, but when you look at it, our crowd also has a place in the Summit building on Rudisill, and we also have one in Columbia City, and so they're meeting today. So always be praying for our others who are in other communities. So, but I want to let you know that God had a plan. God had a plan to get his people out of Egypt, and he used Moses as a leader. Now, I want to talk about two different things today. I want to talk about leadership, and I want to talk about the group of people. And so basically, they went through all the things they went through, and they went across the Big Sea. They went through those things. And then they came up to the promised land, and Moses sent 12 spies in, and they came back and they gave a report. They were able to go into the promised land. They were able to go to the vision that God had for them, and their mission was to go into the promised land. They came back and they gave a report. Now, 10 of those, they called them spies. 10, they went out to spy the land. They came back, and 10 of those spies came back with a negative report, and 2 of those came back with a positive report, saying that we can do this thing. We can do this thing. In verse 30 of chapter 10, he says this, then Caleb, quote, he quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and take possession, for we are able to overcome it. So Caleb was one of the two, him and Joshua were one of the two, that says, you know what, we can do this thing. It's not about the number, it's not about the size of these giants and all those kind of things. You see, Caleb and Joshua saw how big their God was, and the rest of them saw how big the people were. And we need to remember that some of our problems are not that big when we look at how big our God is. Amen? Y'all got to participate today. Amen? All right, so we're going to look at something here in chapter 14. I want to talk to you about the key to this. Leadership can be great, okay? Moses was an outstanding leadership, qualified to do a lot of things, and then when he had God's call on his life, he was able to do all kinds of things. But there's an old thing is, you can lead a horse up to the water, but you can't make him drink, right? Some of you know that more than I do. But verse 1 says, so all the congregation, this is what happens. It got this big battle going on, who's right, who's wrong. And then there's this thing, not just about leadership, but the congregation. I've got King James Version today. Sometimes I'll use different ones, but today I'm using King James Version, New King James Version. But the word is congregation. And that's what you are, the congregation, okay? So he says this, so all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night. They didn't like it. They didn't understand. They didn't get it. So they had all these people. And then verse 4, it says this. So they said to one another, let us select a leader and return to Egypt. So they said, let us get together a new leader so we can go back to that slavery that we were at, so we can go back to that world that we can get at least, we don't have to do all this stuff in the desert, we don't have to go out and fight, we don't have to do these things. They said, let us pick another leader. I was listening to Randy and what he was saying, and there's some things also that I was sitting there thinking about with vision. Why does people perish? Sometimes because they don't like their leader. I've got a couple of churches right here on my brain right now. Their church should be on fire. They should be ignited. They should be huge in many areas. But they are still reaping the cost of getting a new leader. And the church is not in a thriving motion. They're in a surviving motion right now. And they're still doing it after 25 years of running off two pastors because they didn't like the leader. This is that same type of congregation. I don't like the leader. I don't like what's going on. So Moses and Aaron, they began to do something. They began to fall on their face before this congregation and the Lord. And they began to call upon the Lord. And I want to tell you, let's stop for a minute just to say, this congregation is belly aching. They want a new leader. They want to go back. But you got a couple of guys who says, you know what? We can do this thing. Joshua, Caleb. Also, you got Aaron. You got Moses. You got a few in there. And God is watching. I want to remind you that God is watching. Every church meeting across America and all these committees get together and they want to pick out and decide what God's and all these things. Let me tell you, God is watching. When you're at home and you're making decisions, God is watching. Okay? Not with a big gavel, but God is watching, all right? So God's watching this. So basically what happened is they rebel against this whole thing. They rebel against everything that is going on. And God finally says, all right, I've had enough of these people. This congregation, in the end of it, this congregation is going to wander out into the desert, and everybody that's 20 years of age and older is going to die in the desert. Going to die in the desert. And then I'll raise up a new congregation. A new congregation. Okay? Now, we know that Moses had done something, you know, he got out of anger with these people later on. Out of anger, he strikes the rock, and God has a moment with him, and he's not allowed to enter into the promised land. But God made a promise. These people are going to go into the promised land. So now we turn over to Joshua. This is where we want to be, just for a few more minutes today. But this is where we're going to be with Joshua. New leader, new congregation. Okay? New leader, new congregation. In Joshua chapter 1, we see this whole thing. Now, I want to tell you, Joshua cannot step in the sandals of Moses. There's just no way. There's no one that can step in. It's just like the shoes that you wear today. Nobody can wear your shoes, okay? They're going to be discomfort. They're not going to fit right. They're not your style. They're not your thing. They're not yours. They're not yours until they belong to you. I don't know if you've ever played basketball and ripped your shoes and you had to borrow somebody else's. You just don't play right. It doesn't feel right. And there's the thing. God knows that. God knows that Joshua's going to struggle with a few things. You know, God doesn't tell us things we don't need to hear. Did you know that? God doesn't tell us things that we don't need to hear. God tells us things that we need to hear. And you're going to see some things here. And God keeps saying the same thing over to Joshua about 3 or 4 times. And if God repeats himself, guess what? That's probably pretty important, wouldn't you think? That's probably pretty important. And he says this in verse 3. He says, verse 6. We'll go to verse 6. He says, be strong and of good courage. Verse 7, he says, only be strong and a very good and a very courageous. Okay? In verse 9, he says also, be strong and of good courage. He's telling Joshua, you got to be strong now. You got to be strong and you got to be courageous. You got to have courage, and you're going to have to go into this. Now Joshua, he's been in that land about 40 years ago. And he's 40 years older. Okay? But now he's not the spy going out into the land. Now he's going to be sending out a few spies, but he's going to go into the land. But there's also another difference between the leader. There is a congregation. Okay? So the whole conversation begins. God's talking to Joshua, and we see this piece here that the people begin to talk to Joshua. And here's what he says. This is what they say in verse 18. So the congregation is together now with Joshua. Okay, Joshua said, we're going to go into the promised land. God's given it to us. This is what we have to do. But the people have something to say. They say, verse 17, just as we heeded Moses in all things, so we will heed you. You see, this congregation got it. The other congregation didn't. This congregation that's with Joshua, these younger people, they were watching these older people suffer through some things that they should not have to suffer through. Okay? And the biggest one was they were not permitted to go into the promised land. It wasn't going to happen. If you go back and read a little bit, there was a few people that said, oh my gosh, we made a mistake from that old congregation. And then they wanted to go up and do it. And Moses says, you will be defeated. And they went out and they got defeated. So they did try to go into the promised land. You see, you can't force God's hand. You got to do it on God's timing, not your timing. Some people say, well, I'll wait to pastor. When God calls me to preach, God's called me to preach, I'll wait when I'm ready. No, you don't wait when you're ready. When God calls you to do something, you don't wait until you're ready. You go when God calls you to go. And that's when these people suffered very big loss because they wanted to do it on their timing. So many people say, well, I'll come to Christ when I'm done with my partying. I'll come to Christ when I'm good and ready. I'll come to Christ when my wife comes to Christ. I'll come to Christ when my husband... Listen, it don't work that way. It's got to be on God's timing. Okay? So these people were together, and they said, we will heed Moses, because they were there when Moses was alive too. Many of them, 18, 17-year-olds, 18, 19-year-olds, they were there. They got to see Moses for some time. And they say, we'll heed to you like we heeded to Moses. Only the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. They said, we want God to be with you just as he was with Moses. Okay? And this is what they say in verse 18. Whoever rebels against your command and does not heed your words in all that you command him shall be put to death. And so they were saying, listen, we are so into this. We were going to. This is the way these people, this is the way that they were. They had to fight their battles. There were a lot of enemies in the area. And they say, we will fight. And basically in the end of it, it says this. They say the same thing that the Lord says. The congregation says is, only be strong and of good courage. So I think Joshua needed to hear what the Lord had to say about being strong and good courage, but also think he needed to hear it from the people of being strong and good courage. You know, a lot of churches have lost some good pastors because the churches didn't want to follow a call on a man's life. They didn't want to follow into what that where that man was leading. We've lost several people because from time to time we'll lose people because they get on a tangent. It's about them and not about the Lord. I want to ask you, those who have been here a while, I want to ask you, there's a verse here, it says in verse 3, God always tells us what we need to do. But there's always a blessing in it. If you write in your Bibles, this is something you can just underline right there. Verse 3. God says this, every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you. He's telling him that where he goes forward into this vision, I'm going to give it to you. Don't think, if I've given you a vision, God gives us a vision to go forward, he's going to give it to us. Now let's go back in our own history. In 2005, we got down there in some really bad neighborhood. I stopped off at a motel in the southeast side of Atlanta just because I needed some sleep. And God met me there and just tore me up about this vision and through the night that I didn't really get any sleep. Then we were going to start a men's shelter, a women's shelter, a soup kitchen, and a place for children and whatever else he has for us. It's now 2016. We have the women's shelter. We have the soup kitchen. We are hoping to close on the house for the women with children. Look around you. Does anybody here have the pockets to pay for that? Look. We're not a congregation of 500. Not a congregation of 2,000. We're not building gymnasiums. I'm not saying there's nothing wrong with it. We're not building big theatrical. And we're not putting $50,000 to $70,000 in our staging and lighting system. This was all done by a few dollars that we might have had and a whole bunch of missionaries that come in from Michigan and some other places. Open your eyes. You need to open your eyes and see what, you may not always agree with what's going on, but just look and see God's thumbprint. It is everywhere. It is everywhere. There's no reason we should be doing what we're doing at all. There's no reason. and all. So with the soup kitchen, we had it since 2007, and it's been going up for about 9 years now. Now with that, what happens is in this community, there was really not much going on. There was the Huntington House. Not a lot of people knew about it, but it was there. And then we decided in 2012, God made a move, some things happened, and we opened up the Women's Life House. And since the Women's Life House, now there's a men's shelter that has been come up, and there's been a couple other women places that have come up for specific things. I think that's what they're for. People will copy and will do what they see as succeeding. People do that in the technological world. They do that with your cell phones. They do that in the cable. They're always competing, and they're always doing that. We're not trying to compete. We're just trying to do what God has called us to do. That's it. Okay? If you ever read Encountering God by Henry Blackaby, you'll get kind of some of that. If you don't know where to go, find out where God is working and go there. Be a part of something that God is doing. But it makes no sense that we should have the ministries that we have. And us be knows that God does something crazy that I'm like, okay, because he will not give you more than you can bear. We always think that's on the sinful side. He will not give you more than we can bear. But the thing is, he's not telling us to bear these things. The Bible tells us to cast all of our anxieties before him because he cares for you. And when we see this piece, one of the biggest pieces is some of you wrestled with the ministries. Can we afford it? Let me tell you one thing about affording something. There's wise prophecy, or there's wise proverbs about counting the cost when you build something. But listen, when God builds something, it's not your responsibility to know where it's all going to come from. That's the obedience that God calls us. He will supply, and He has supplied. He has supplied. And so we have these ministries going on, and then all of a sudden, a year or so ago, the mind of mine is like, Lord, why are we not growing physically? Why are we not growing physically? I just don't understand why we're not growing physically. But this is a very transitional church. The hardest kind of church to pastor and to lead and to be a part of is transitional. That means people come and people go. People come and people go. People come for a while, then they move on. Can I just be honest and frank with you? Nobody wants to join an inner city church. Everybody's trying to move to the suburban church. I'm not saying it's bad to be a part of a suburban church. You can go where you live, but nobody's flocking to the inner city churches. Okay? Because there's work to be done. There is a lot of work to be done. And it just doesn't mean this 100-year-old building that's falling apart that we always have to work on. But there's working on with people. And sometimes people can suck you dry in leadership. This is why Jesus went off when the crowds and they were almost being able to run him over and walk all over him. He had to step away and go away. And we know that he went off to pray, but many times he went away because he just needed to get away because he was just so much was taken from him and taken out of him. Everybody wanted something. And then God says something about multi-siting. He's stretching us even more. Because I'm going to tell you, 5 years ago, we wouldn't be able to handle it. We would not be able to handle multi-site. There's no way. He knew that. He didn't even bring it to our attention. He's protecting us, and then he reveals it when he wants to reveal it. These people did not know that Jericho is right. They heard about Jericho. They've seen it. But they don't know really what... They don't know the plan that they're going to have to march around it. They think they're going to have to attack it. And God's going to show them in the very first victory that, listen, if you do it my way, I'll knock any wall down in front of you, and all you got to do is be obedient. And we see in Scripture that they walked around that, and the walls came down. And a fear went off across the land that there is a God for the Israelites. And here we are in 2016. And it wasn't just in 2015 we opened up our first multi-site in Fort Wayne. And the bubbles of here even got a little bit anxious, and people were thinking, oh, Fort Wayne's going to grow faster than we are, and how are we going to handle that? And so we kind of got some people got really nervous about it. You see, when you start trusting your own intellectual smarts, that's the kind of things we get to. You see, when you have those kind of thoughts, you know what? You need to step back. That's what I do. And I say, Lord, my mind is like all standing up against everything. And I need to step back, and I need to go and spend some time with the Lord, and I need to pray. And you know, in my prayer time doesn't mean I'm talking. It means I'm also listening. And this is a good thing to take with you in that place. So we opened up Fort Wayne. And I know it probably seemed like the craziest time to work on a multi-site for Columbia City. But it's a part of New Life now. Now, are these boasting things for us? No. These are boasting things for the Lord to say what great things He can do with such a small crowd. There is no boasting in me. There is no boasting in you. It's only boasting in the Lord. And the part of the vision for this is to reach across northern Indiana to share the gospel regardless of your status. Now, I've never heard that mission statement before. Regardless of your status in the world is what it says. Regardless of your status in the world. We don't care if you make money or if you don't make money. We don't care where you are on the totem pole of success and if you want to call fail or whatever, or the poor or the rich or however it is. We don't care. We feel that all people need to hear the gospel. We feel that all need to have the opportunity, regardless of where they are and who they are, and what color they are, what nationality they are. That's why I like Fort Wayne. Fort Wayne's got white and Hispanic in it. Because God's church is really not about color. It's about people. It's not about money. It's not about status. It's about people. And so how do we stand here today in 2016 knowing that we're getting ready to go through and then God throws another curveball at me and I feel like, man, this is like, how can we handle more things? How can we handle more things? How can we listen? If we just let God be God and we let people do what they need to be doing, the people that have their talents and gifts, we let them do those things and we pray that God will bring workers into this harvest field here, that we will be able to move forward. But He says, this, only be strong. You got to be strong. You got to be strong, and you got to be courageous. Never say you cannot afford it. In ministry, you say you cannot afford it. You can say, you don't say that you cannot afford it. You say it must be God's timing. If God's called you to do it, He will supply it. That was my question to Him in Atlanta. Lord, we cannot afford this. We're only about 50 people. We cannot afford this. How are we going to do it? He says, you do it, I'll supply it. Our soup kitchen's paid off. I know y'all know that. But there were people that God supplied that through people that I have no clue who they are. I know we received a $10,000 gift somewhere in Indiana, some couple. We received another $10,000 gift somebody here in town that gave to somebody here that check. Another church, a church from Cincinnati found out who we were, came here, visited, left, and called us back how much you owe on the building and paid it off. Yeah, we got people in our church that go, you know, and just act like nothing happened, and you're missing it. I'm telling you, you're missing it. You're missing it. You're missing it. And you're right there where God is handing out amazing blessings, and so many people are missing. Listen, God's not impressed by the size of the church. He's not impressed by what the church looks like. We do need to take care of what God has given to us. We need to make sure it's right and good. Haggai's a great, great book to read about that, taking care of your own house and not God's house. But God's not impressed by the color of the carpet. He's not impressed by the great musical instruments and the $10,000 sound system and the $2,000 guitars and the $5,000, $10,000 grand piano. He's not impressed by that. Those are tools for ministry to lead people to Christ. That's all it is. And to worship Him. He's not impressed by those things. He's not impressed. He's not impressed that a church has a gymnasium and they can play basketball every Sunday afternoon. He's not impressed by those things. But one thing I think might impress Him is a group of people, a congregation that says, as Isaiah would say, send me, Lord. Send me. Impressed by the congregation that says, Lord, whatever you put in front of us, give us the strength and the courage to do it, and we'll do it. The go-get-it, the ones that want to get out there and get it done. I don't know about you, but how many of y'all watched the game last night, the second game, the Cincinnati, and watched the Cincinnati and the Steelers? Anybody watch it, or am I the only one who watched it? I tell you what, I was rooting for one team, and then I changed at the end of the game. I saw bad conduct. I saw bad, just wrong attitude. I saw bad hits. I saw some things that were undercut, and it changed me. I was going for Cincinnati until the last 4 minutes of the game. I just wanted Cincinnati to be there because they haven't been there for so long. I just wanted them to win because they have a great quarterback who got hurt. I wanted to watch the game, and I usually don't watch football that much, especially teams I don't really care for too much. But I saw how they just wanted to cheat, and how they wanted to be so, and then the fights that began, and just things, and boy, if a Cincinnati mission team that's coming here soon in April would be all over me, probably. But I was watching it. I really didn't have a favorite. I just wanted to see Cincinnati win. I used to be a Pittsburgh fan. So I was kind of watching it, not just like this is my greatest team. So if you're a Cincinnati fan, you're probably defending yourself right now, and that's okay, defending them. But it's like two congregations. If we can't get it the way we want to get it, we're going to do whatever we need to get it. And it doesn't matter. We're going to break the rules. We're going to do the things. It doesn't matter. And we'll do it in front of everybody. Here's the sad part of it. The congregation was not the players. The congregation was the fans. And when the Pittsburgh Steeler, Rosenberg, got hurt, and he began to come off the field, the fans were hoorahing. They were clapping. They were booing him. They threw things at him. And they were glad that he got hurt. I won't ever be a fan like that. You want to win, but is it so much that you wish somebody else would get hurt? And when they get hurt, you applaud it. It was embarrassing. And the announcer said it was kind of embarrassing. Let me tell you, there are some great pastors, and some of these pastors, they have congregations who are just like the Israelites, just like those fans last night. They don't care. They just want what they want. And then you have congregations that says, you know what? We can do this. Number one, God's got to be with you. Number two, we'll be with you, but you got to be strong and you got to be courageous. What won that game last night was class. Professional class. What wins in the games of life and what wins in these visions that God gives to us is class with God. Having a class, having obedience, knowing that there is a way to do it and a way not to do it. So what is in front of us in 2016? Here we go. Ready? Here we go. 2016. Three congregations are going to continue to draw closer together. We are going to worship as we are today in separate locations, but we are one church in different locations. Our first piece is going to be when we get into July. Is that the first one? In July. Last week in July. You'll get more information on this. When we will have all of our locations will come together at a campground, and we will have a weekend together on a Friday and a Saturday. Okay? This church will be picking up Friday night dinner, and one of them will pick up Sunday morning or Saturday morning breakfast, and the other one will pick up Saturday afternoon lunch. From 5 p.m. on Friday, from 5 p.m. on Saturday night, we will be together. We will have a worship service together. We will do all kinds of things together. It's not all going to be organized, so if you want to fish, you want to do those things, great. Come do that. We want you to be a part of that. More information will come up about that. And in September, we're going to have a 15-year anniversary. We're going to celebrate what God has done in 15 years in New Life Fellowship. It'll be a Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. We'll have some special groups come. We're going to have some speakers come from the past. T.B. Smith helped us get started in the beginning. Then we'll come here, and we'll have a Friday, Saturday, Sunday, kind of like revival, kind of celebration service weekend here together. Those things are going to be what we're going to do together. There's opportunities for you to go to each one of the locations yourself throughout this year to see what they're about, to celebrate what they're doing, to be a part of their worship. It's not about one location, it's about the whole thing. It's about the whole thing. We're also opening up a thrift store in Columbia City. A thrift store is going to be opened up. It's going to be opened up to help support the finances for the ministries. You see, we want to open up a children's, women with children's house. And I was just like, how are we going to do that? I'm just like praying about how are we going to do that. And some people came to me and just, I don't know how this God does things. And starting up a thrift store, we're going to get that thrift store by February. It's going to be ours. We're going to rent that, $350 a month, I think, and then what's going to happen is we're going to have that in Columbia City, and those funds will help support, because what it's going to cost, it costs about $40,000 to run each one of these ministries. That's a lot of money, okay? But when I look at it, God has it all. Someone says, well, you got to talk to this, you know, I talk to people, I talk to places, but I always say, you know, it's not about their yes and no, it's about who God's touched. That's all. I don't have to worry about it. I don't have to worry about it. So that's something that we'll be looking into as well. That's going to be starting. So I'll be sending some things out saying, hey, if you have anything you want to throw in a thrift store, come on. But we haven't got that yet because we got to have a place to put all that, but we're working on that right now. So those are some things that we're looking at. I'm not looking at opening up any new locations. I don't want to do any more right now, but only what the Lord wants. And so the last piece I want to share with you today is when the congregation was not doing the greatest thing, and when they found themselves throughout this time, the Israelites, they always did something. It wasn't just in the time of Moses, but it came all the way up to the time of even today. What we do is we do fasting. We are going to do a three-day fast, and it starts today at 6 p.m. 6 p.m. Now, I know that fasting is hard. Now, some people say, I'm going to fast from TV, I'm going to fast. Listen, fasting is fasting from food, period, okay? You know, we'll try to self-justify something else, but I'm saying fasting is fasting from food. So here's what it is. Number one, I want to tell you why we're fasting. I want to fast that God's vision that he has for us in 2016 will come to be, that we will grow, that our churches will grow physically, but also spiritually. Okay? Not with just movers from other churches. We're looking for people to witness, okay? That we would grow with new believers, all right? And we'll take whoever else God brings, but new believers. That's one thing. We're going to be fasting for the vision for 2016, that God will continue to bless us. Number two, you need to find something personal that you need to fast about. We are all in different places in this world, in this walk of life. Every one of you in a different place. You need to be fasting for these 3 days for what God has for you. Now, how are we going to fast? We're going to fast from Sunday night tonight at 6 to Wednesday night, 6 p.m. Now, that is a very hard fast to do. So I want to challenge you that if you have not fasted, I don't want you, you know, you need to think about how you want to do this. Because this is a three-day fast. Some of you may be able to say, you know what, this is going to be my first three-day fast, but what I want to do, and you need to think about it, pray about it, and just be committed to it. If you want to take breakfast and you say, you know what, I want to fast, and I don't want to eat breakfast for Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. I'm going to take that time out instead of me eating, I'm going to spend time with God. That's good. You want to do that? That's fine. Or maybe you say, you know what, I got something really going on Monday, and I got something going on Wednesday, I'm going to take Tuesday. And I'm going to fast all day Tuesday. So basically what I'm telling you is you need to find some place in these 3 days that you can fast. You may not be able to take it all, and that's okay. We got congregation, you know, it's bigger than what we see here because we have the other two sides. They're going to be a part of it as well. So find that place, you know, the worst thing you can find yourself when you're fasting is at the grocery store. Don't go grocery shopping, okay? Don't do that. Don't meet people at restaurants unless you have to, okay? All right? But there's something that happens when you begin to fast. First of all, your stomach begins to roar. You're hungry. You're doing those things, all right? You need to take care of yourself. I mean, if you're a big factory worker and you're lifting 100 pounds every 10 minutes and all, you're doing those things, you need to be wise about how you're going to fast. You might be one of those ones that want to fast just for breakfast or maybe for dinner or what have you. But basically fasting is drawing yourself, giving up food, something physical that you might take in the spiritual. Amen? And basically it's you drawing to God. The Bible says if you draw nigh to God, he will draw nigh to you. So you're pleading to God, God, come to me. I want to come to you. Bring me to yourself. Reveal to me what you'd have for me in my life right now. And you spend time on that. Just not one prayer, but you may spend that during these 3 days. So I'm challenging you. You know, don't gorge yourself at 5:30 because it's not going to work because you'll feel the pain. And don't gorge yourself afterwards because you won't be able to handle it. Okay? So I'm challenging you to do a three-day fast. Somewhere in the 3 days that you take some time and you fast. I will promise you, you will come out stronger than you were when you went in. Okay? All right? And don't run around telling everybody you're fasting. But you can have people pray for you. In our church, we know that, okay? Something will be on Facebook as well to tell everybody to be a part of it and those kind of things. All right? So how many of y'all is going to take a challenge somewhere in a three-day fast? Somewhere you're going to do something? Okay. At least take one meal. Do something. Participate. Somehow participate in the three-day fast. All right, so in closing, this is what God says. Be strong, and good courage. God has a lot planned for us. But we're the ones that have to make the steps to get there. So I don't know where you're at today in your walk with the Lord, but I do know this. God knows where you are. God knows exactly where you are. He knows the kind of congregation that we have. You know that God has put things in front of us, and because of the congregation we have, we've been able to do because of the way you guys are and your faithfulness. We've been able to do what we've been able to do because of your faithfulness. So I'm going to ask you to continue to be faithful in what God has called you to do here at New Life. There have been others who have, like I said before, have went off and doing other things. But don't let that be you. You stay focused and you be faithful to God. God blesses those who walk in His will and walk in His obedience. So I don't know where you're at today, but I do know this, God does.